Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Job. Teenagers, you are out. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Amen. Continuing on in our series, Live in the Given, today I would encourage you to definitely take some notes. This pastor is going to try to walk us down a tightrope. And we'll see how this goes. This could either be really good or it could be a dumpster fire. We'll see what happens in the next 20 or 30 minutes, folks. Buckle up. But I'm going to try to share with you a few things that hopefully will challenge maybe your existing mindset and maybe cause you to question some stuff theologically that hopefully says, oh man, I see how these things in the Bible tie together. And I didn't realize they were connected. I thought they were maybe independent. Job chapter 1 says, Job was a man who lived in Uz. And I'm reading out of the Message translation. He was honest inside and out, a man of his word, who was totally devoted to God. What a testimony. And hated evil with a passion. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. My, my. And he was also very wealthy. 7,000 head of sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a huge staff of servants. Verse 3, the most influential man in all the East. We find that Job goes through a calamity, cycling through adversity. And as he does such, we know the famous words in Job chapter 1 and verse 21 that we will hone in on this morning. And Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That last part there is where we're going to focus on. The Lord gave. The Lord gave. It would be easy to talk about the Lord's taken away, but today we're going to talk about the Lord gave. Amen. Turn to somebody and said, the Lord gives. The Lord gives. Amen. And you may be seated. Life can be full of a lot of stuff. Good, bad, surprises, not so much surprises. Some things you expect, some things that you are unaware of. And a lot of times in the Word of God, and a lot of times we see throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that there are people that go through these ups and downs, mountains and valleys. And a lot of times, even inconveniences, people ask aloud, why does this thing happen to me? Why does this happen to me? You ever have something happen to you and say, why has this happened today, God, of all days? And it always seems, if I could just be real up in here, that it always seems like it's on the most important days that everything seems to go wrong, right? Like the most important meeting that you have all year, you know, you walk outside and the tire's flat, right? And you're like, really? Why couldn't this happen yesterday? Why couldn't it happen tomorrow? Today, of all days, it's like it knew it was out to get me. Anybody been there before? right? It's like out of all days, and you know, something happens, and you're like, why? Why would this happen today of all days? You know, if it happens tomorrow, it's bad, but it's not nearly as bad. But just the things align and circumstances align, and people say, oh, how can this happen? Whether it's something of an inconvenience of a flat tire or running out of gas, or, you know, you're late to a meeting, and, you know, it's the worst thing. I remember earlier this year in January, I was going to a job interview, and it was, I think, like interview number 5 or 6 of 7. I mean, it was down the deal. I had to be at somewhere, and I woke up early. I was a good boy, and, you know, it's not like I overslept. And I get in the car, and I said, okay, I'm going to drop my daughter off here. I've got 1 hour to get from here to there. Not hard, like, dude, I can do that easily. The devil is a liar. Can I get a witness, somebody? And all of a sudden, I start driving, and man, I catch this light, and all of a sudden, a school bus. I'm like, come on now. And I drop her off, and then all of a sudden, I'm rushing, and I, all of a sudden, it's like I find a traffic jam, which can be easily found anywhere around the place that we live. Can I get a witness, somebody, right? And, of course, I run into a traffic jam, and I'm talking to my wife, and all of a sudden, I'm like, you know, I'm fine. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm not fine. I'm going to be late, and what's going on? Ah, you know, and I start to panic, and so much so, I start looking at alternatives. You know, here's what I can do. If I park the car here, I can jump on a metro, and that's what I did. I found a metro station, drove in, parked the car, ran through the metro, got to the metro, and, of course, the metro's like, this train is delayed for schedule adjustment. I'm like, no, come on. We don't need a schedule adjustment today. We got to go, folks. And so, you know, I get off the metro, and conveniently, because I didn't plan to do this, I had to run 7 blocks in the rain. No umbrella. And man, I'm like running to this job interview. You would think Pastor was running for an Olympic gold medal. I mean, it was like, I mean, just, you know, drenching. All of a sudden, I get there and I'm, you know, I'm out of shape. I'm, you know, I'm like, okay, can't go into a job interview like that here. I'm already drenching. I'm here, you know. And so I like, okay, breathe. And the whole time I'm thinking, God, really? Out of all days, today? Come on. And can I get a witness? Anybody ever had a story like that happen to you? Inconveniences, mild bad things. And some people often wonder, you know, God, why does this happen? But, you know, I don't hear a lot of times people openly wonder and question, God, why are all the good things happening to me? I don't know if I've ever had somebody call a meeting with Pastor in 16 years of ministry and 8 years of just pastoring this church. I can't recall anybody ever saying, Pastor, I need to meet with you. See, God is blessing me so much. I just need to understand why this is all happening. I've never had somebody call me up and say, Pastor, I am just really, really confounded that, you know, God's given me a promotion on my job and I just need to know why. Never had that conversation. I don't know how I would answer it, but I don't know, right? But what I do know is that often people don't question why God is good to us. But there is a principle that we can understand today, that we explore today in the Living the Given series, that God, Sister Williams told me no more hip shakes, so I'll just put my leg up. Living the Given, okay? Living the Given series of why God gives. Now, God, we know, gave his best to us and for us. Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3 and 4, the Bible says that when we start today, we must understand that when God gives, he gives us the best and he gives it to us and for us. And in Psalms 8, 3 and 4, when I look to your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. And watch this. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? The psalmist says in Psalms chapter 8, what is it that this God who creates everything that you see, the moon and the stars and the power and the wonder and the awe, would be willing to listen to such an insignificant being as myself? What a powerful thought this morning when we talk about the thanksgiving of God.
and we talk about God's blessings. Let me remind you this morning that God does not withhold good things from the people who walk uprightly. He does not withhold those things. He withholds no good thing, is what Psalms goes on to say. He withholds nothing from those who walk uprightly. Jesus loves us. And hear me today. When we understand that He loves us and He wants to give good gifts to His children, He wants to bless you. He wants you to succeed. He does want you to prosper. I know that you may not believe that, and I'm not sharing a prosperity gospel this morning, but I do need to remind you that the Bible says that He does want to bless His people. He does want to give you good gifts. He does bless you for a reason. Can I get a witness, somebody? And once we understand that Jesus loves us and He wants to bless us, it sure does make it a whole lot easier. Somebody say amen. Therefore, we must understand today that our identity, we have people that need to be delivered from an identity crisis in Christianity. Our identity must be rooted in who we are in God. A God that loves us so much that He went to the cross for us. A God that loves us so much that He died for you and I. For John chapter 3 and verse 16, the often most quoted verse says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Can I just remind you today that in this season, if there's nothing else to be thankful for, it's that Jesus died on the cross because He loves us and He wants to get us out of this. He didn't come to condemn us, but He came to set us free. He came so that we might have life and we might have life more abundantly. He came so we could prosper. He came so that we can live a blessed life. But Jesus' death on the cross, the beauty of that is that it purchased salvation. Your salvation. My salvation. The world and those that are lost have the opportunity of salvation. If there's nothing else to be grateful for in a living in thanksgiving, to be thankful for salvation is first and foremost something that we often take for granted. But sometimes we must never minimize the importance of salvation and the cross in our life. We believe it. Everybody say amen. We believe the cross. We believe the power of the cross. We believe the resurrection of the cross. We believe the power of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, that Jesus came and died and was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again, and He is alive and well. We thank God for that. But we must never minimize that He did that for you and I. Because the world has a right and an opportunity. And although it is given freely, can I remind you, it still must be possessed and applied. Now, I don't mean to be ugly today, but you know, it is often sad when people who know the gospel but never apply the gospel. And then, if I may put this into perspective, is that when we go to someone's funeral, which is always sad, but know that they were not right with God, they denied or they didn't apply, and people come at that point and often try to blame who in that situation, they often say, "Why would God do this? Why would God take them? Why? Where are they going to spend eternity?" The question is not why, but the question is, why did they not apply what God freely gave? Because they had an opportunity. Can I get a witness? We serve a God that's merciful and just, and we serve a God that gives all. Just because it's given doesn't mean that it's automatically theirs. They have to apply it to their life. It's kind of like a coupon. Any couponers in here? Anybody ever seen the show Extreme Couponing? Now, that's an amazing show, folks, okay? Now, I'm not a regular watcher of Extreme Couponing, but whenever I catch a good episode of Extreme Couponing, it's amazing. You know, these people go and they get a bunch of junk that they'll never use. They'll get 44 cans of tomato sauce that all expire in a month, and they'll get 22 boxes of Fruity Pebbles because it's buy one, get one free, and if you buy this and buy that. And what's amazing is they'll have four or five carts full of groceries, right? And they'll pay like $14 for it. It's amazing. I'm like, that's a ministry there. Can I get a witness, somebody? That's a real ministry. But and if you see the amount of time they do, it's fascinating. If you've never seen the show, there's your streaming for tonight, Sunday Night TV, provided by Pastor. There you go. Now watch. The point is there are people that have coupons. But the only point of a coupon is to get you to actually use the coupon. The benefit doesn't apply just because you have it in your possession. The only way it actually is beneficial is if you use the coupon. Now, I am a T-Mobile subscriber. Any T-Mobile fans in here? Okay, anybody have T-Mobile? Okay, T-Mobile has this thing called T-Mobile Tuesdays. For the rest of you not cool people, And T-Mobile Tuesdays is this kind of promotional gimmick that they do. Every Tuesday, they give you free stuff. And so every Tuesday, it's T-Mobile Tuesday. Yo, you play the game, you win a prize, and sometimes it's a taco from Taco Bell, and sometimes it's a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and love the Dunkin' Donuts one, and sometimes it's like 10 cents off Shell gas, and sometimes I will sit there and I'll say, good, ooh, I can't wait to go get a donut now. Hey, God bless me with a donut today. Donut day on Dunkin'. Right? Hold on, I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. Some of you are like, this is going the dumpster fire, Pastor. You better save it. We see the thing lighting right now. Now, hold on. There's a point with this. Just because it's available, if I don't redeem it, it's my fault. And if I don't redeem it and use it just because it's available, doesn't mean I automatically get the free donut. I have to claim it, walk to the store, show them the thing, they scan the app, then I get my donut. The reality of it is the same thing happens with the blessings of God and salvation and the cross. Just because it's available doesn't mean it's automatically applied. We've got to follow the things of God. We've got to follow. We want to be blessed. We've got to follow the words of God. We've got to follow the laws of God. We've got to follow the principles of God. If we want to have God's blessings on our life, we can't just say, oh God, I showed up to church Sunday morning. Now give me what you want to give me. God says, I'm giving it to you, but you've got to go possess it. You've got to go apply it. You've got to go get it. And then you've got to say, this is what I want. I've got a right to it, but just because I've got a right doesn't mean I automatically have it. And that's where I believe sometimes God says, oh, you're leaving this on the table. You're leaving these things. And Jesus' sacrifice, to be very clear, on the cross, allows us to repent of our sins. Just because he died on the cross doesn't mean our sins are automatically taken away. We have to go. We have to believe. See, if you don't believe, does the cross come to effect? No! Because if you don't believe, then the cross is none effect. That's why believing is the step. That's why you have to first, how can you have faith unless you believe? How can you have any form of faith and application unless you believe? But just because you believe doesn't mean that you've repented. Can I get a witness, somebody? That's where you have to possess that. Just because it's there, just because it's in the Word of God, just because it's instructed, and just because it's available doesn't mean it's applied. See, I hope you're catching this. Watch. And that's where we have the opportunity to repent of our sins, to be baptized in the name of Jesus, to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness, somebody? Just because it's available doesn't necessarily mean it's applied, but God does want to give it to us. And the blessings would be more if we understand that, God, I want to possess these things. It's a gift. It's something God wants to give us. You ever try to give somebody a gift and they don't take it? You ever try to bless somebody with something? And they're like, dude, why are you not taking this? Now, for some of y'all, you may not know this, but for me, it's sometimes like kids. With my kids and eating, I'm like, dude, this is delicious. There's times I will try to give them candy. I will sneak them candy. This morning, my son was getting dressed, and there's a little piece of candy. And he looked at me, points, he goes, And I said, oh, yeah, you want some candy? I handed him a piece of candy, and his sister's sitting there looking at him. And his sister said, Cam, you've had enough sugar today. He had any sugar at all. Why are you hating on my man? Mm. So that means you don't want any candy? There's times I will give them something. I'll say, shh, hey, come here. I got this really good candy. I feel like a drug dealer sometimes sneaking around my house. Like, shh, don't tell your mom. Come here. Shh. This is the good stuff. It's Ghirardelli. Come on. And there will be amazing times. They're like, no. No. What do you mean, no? This is amazing goodness. Do you understand what I'm offering you? These are people who would go bonkers for this. And they're like, no, I don't want it. I don't like the color. You don't... Did you say you don't like the color of the wrapper? Girl, you must be out your mind. I'm like, this is chocolate. It's amazing to me how sometimes people won't take when you're trying to give them something that they know they like, that is good for them, but they won't take it. I wonder sometimes if that's how the Lord feels about our walk with God, that we are exposed to an immense amount of blessings and goodness, and God saying, take it, but we ignore it, or we talk ourselves out of it. And then we sit there and wonder, well, God's not blessing my life. Can I get a witness, somebody? Or I wish God would do that for me. God does it for them. Why doesn't God bless me? Well, could it be that maybe we have not applied the blessings to our life? Because the blessings of just him going to the cross would be far more than enough. And yet, the Lord continues to provide us with blessings and just the basic necessities of food and shelter and opportunities to live. But we find that there's so much more in the things of God. Psalms 84 and 10 says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And he goes on to say, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. The good things God provides us are even more amazing when we think about our sinful nature and how we are as human beings. And if everybody says amen, no one will know I'm talking about you. Everybody say amen. Amen. Because we are sinners and because we've done things wrong, when you think of how God wants to bless us, it is even more astonishing and even more awestruck that we serve a God who is good in spite of my faults, in spite of my flaws, in spite of my wrongdoings, in spite of things that probably should have been punished. But God is a God of what? Grace and glory is what the author said. He said, God is a God that will give grace and glory. God gives grace to us. I'm here today and say, thank God today for grace. I thank God for the grace of God, that when I am weak, he makes me strong. For his grace is sufficient, and in his grace, it makes up the difference. The grace of God says, hey, I know you're weak, but God's grace comes into play. I thank God for his grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Can I get a witness, somebody, that I thank God for the grace of God, that when I'm sinful and I know that there's something, God's still good to me. God's still blessing. God still cares about me. He still hears my prayers. He still loves me. He still is on the throne, and he still wants to be involved in my life. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul describes this so eloquently when he says, now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me. Now watch who's writing this. The Apostle Paul, who we know how good the Apostle Paul is. He is the apostle. He starts multiple churches. He's reaching people. This is the grace of God. And yet Paul is writing to the church of Rome. And watch the very words of Paul. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Anybody ever been there before? Anybody ever been there where you say, God, I'm trying to do this, But God, I just, in my flesh, it's like I'm not getting what I need. It's like I'm going, I just seem to be running into a wall, into a wall, into a wall. Paul is saying that it's not me, it's the flesh, and there's nothing in me that does good. But yet, in spite of my nature, I'm here today to remind you that we serve a God that works in spite of our flesh, that gives grace to our flesh, where we should not be allowed, where we should not be blessed, where we should not. But the grace of God and the mercy of God is so amazing that when you think, God, I know how I shortcome, I know where I lack faith, I know where I doubt, I know where I mess up, but God, you're still good to me in spite of those things, because God gives. The Lord gives. And this is the beauty of the message today. Job, who utters the words, and you see, which is why I read Job 1:1-3, you see the blessings of God. But the blessings of God, you find of what his substance was, paled in comparison. It wasn't the first thing that was listed. It was the last thing that was listed. The first thing was he walks uprightly. He hates evil. We find that Job is living in this moment. And in Job 1:21, he said, the Lord gives. See, there is a law of the harvest that I hope that you live by and you know. And in your Bibles, I wish that you would turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, because I want to share with you maybe something that will give you a slightly new and different perspective on the law of the harvest. For in Galatians, that's in the New Testament, it's in one of the letters written by Paul to the church of Galatia. Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. That's the law of the harvest. If you sow an apple seed, you're not going to get a cherry tree. Now, some people think that. Some people like to think, oh, I'm gonna sow a dandelion, and I'm gonna hope that a cherry tree pops up. But that's not how it works. He says, what you sow, you will reap. It's the law of the harvest. You sow corn, you will reap corn. You sow cucumbers, you're going to reap cucumbers. Don't know where cucumbers came from, but you get the point, right? So watch this. For he goes on to say, for the one who sows to his own flesh, from flesh, reaps corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, notice that's capital S, will reap from the Spirit eternal life. He says, what you sow, flesh, spirit. What you sow is what you will reap. But watch, he goes on to say, and let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. So then we have the opportunity, let us, watch this, do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. I'm thinking, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And as he says this, he says, let us do good to everyone. The law of giving is when we sow, we reap. When we get what we give is what we get. And so the writer, Paul, is talking to the church. He's talking about, watch this, not just sowing in every area. Oftentimes this has resulted in finances, but he actually talks about doing good is what one translation describes. And what we understand is he's talking about doing good, blessing and honor and impact, but watch, to everyone. Now, this is where, in the sermon, where you traditionally would hear, insert normal point here, this is where we ought to bless people. Somebody say amen. This is where we ought to sow into everybody. Amen. We ought to sow to single moms. We ought to sow into people. We ought to sow into orphanages. Somebody say amen. So pastor can move on and go to the point. Right? We know that's the case. But oftentimes, when we talk about sowing to everyone, we look at everyone, but we neglect the one. So we forget about sowing unto God. Could it be that everyone actually includes the Lord? And if we are living the giving to show God that we are thankful, How do we give to God what he already has? Well, that's a great question, Brother Richard. You're right on this morning. I'm glad you're following along with this. And watch this. How do we give to God what he already has? Easy. Because we ought to give him our best, not just what's in the rest. We are commanded to give God our best. It's the law of first fruits. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Nehemiah 10, 35 says, we obligate ourselves to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of every tree, every year by year to the house of the Lord. When we work, we are required to give God our best. That's how we sow. When God gives, could it be a result of what we are giving him? Because if we, see, catch this. This is good, Brother Fidel. I hope they get you in this. This is saving it from the dumpster fire. We've got the fire extinguisher out. This is where we're going to bring it back around. Ready? Hang in there. Watch this. Because watch this. If we sow and we reap what we sow, God gives. So if God gives to us and we don't give back to him the best of what we have and what we are, what do we reap in that? Because it's a cycle. So the question is God gives us good gifts, but what do we give back to him? God gives us blessings, but what do we give back to him? God gives us these amazing things, but what do we give back to him? See, that's the beauty of the law of the harvest in God giving, is God gives these things, but God asks us to give him our best, give him our all. Pastor, what do you mean? Give him our all. How can I give all when I don't know what all is? Derek, let me help you out. That's a great question. How do we give him our all? Do we give him our best in our worship? Do we give him our best Monday through Saturday? Do we give him our best and our first and what is to require him? Or is it God? You know I'm tired. I'm just going to say a few nice little prayers. Love you today, Jesus. Bless you. I'm going to read my one scripture. I'm not going to read a whole chapter. I'm going to read one scripture. You know that scripture of the day? You open up the Bible app, scripture that you read, scripture, like, yep, did my word. Could it be that in that moment of sowing, we're giving God less than our best? He doesn't require a lot. But he does ask that we give him our best. And that's the law of the first fruits, is that we ought to give God the first of what we have, the first of our love. That's when he said the greatest commandment of all. See, watch, this is where I'm going here. Pastor, this is getting good. You're saving it. Okay, thanks. Here we go. Watch this. That's why he said the greatest commandment of all is to what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. When we find that we give God all, when we give him our best, God, I'm giving you this everything in me. God, I'm giving you the first of my day. I'm giving you the first, God. I'm giving you the most important. When I'm at my peak, when I'm at my prime, when I'm at, God, that's when I want to give you my best. That's when I want to give you my time. I want to give you my worship. I want to give you, and when we give our God our best, we're saying, God, I'm blessed. Blessing this, God, I know you're going to give it back to me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether you go. He's saying, no matter what you do, give it to God. And in creation, in perfection, in the perfect design of God, God created work with purpose and the need to accomplish it. It's built into humanity that we might do it with all our might and to say, God, I give you this. But watch this. If we don't give God our best, we're willing to sacrifice it for something of less. Where is that, Pastor? Well, you can find that in the flesh. You can find that in the example of Jacob and Esau, where Esau was blessed with the things of God. And I'm done. Jacob is blessed with the things of God. Jacob's blessed too, but Esau's blessed of the things of God. Esau's blessed with the birthright. He's blessed with the blessing of God. He's got it all together. And literally, he's the first, he's the chosen, but because he does not value what he has been given, he starts to show that that's just something I'm given. I've got a right to it, but I don't really need to possess it. And when you don't feel that I've got to possess it and apply it, you're willing to sacrifice it for something of less because you have deemed it less valuable than what God has in your life. Could it be that we need to put our priorities back into perspective this Thanksgiving if we're going to live the blessed life of saying, God, I want your blessings on my life. It comes with God. I'm not just going to expect the blessings, but God, I'm going to give you my best in every single area of my life, of my worship, of my devotion, of my faith, of God, my walk, of my days in and days out. God, I want to give you my best and give you my all. I want to give you my first fruit, not just what's left. And so because Esau no longer deems it to be significant, it's revealed in a moment of weakness, in which, if you're unfamiliar with the story, sit down for Sunday school hour. Here we go. But as Esau steps in, after a long day of hunting, which I don't understand how hunting could be that exhausting. If you've ever been hunting, you just go and sit, right? It's not like you're out, you know. Can I get a witness, somebody? I mean, they have tree stands, right? You just go sit in the stand, right? It's not like you're out, like, tracking them down like a lion, right? I'm just saying, you know. So Esau comes wandering in, a long day of hunting. I'm not a hunter. It may be more. I don't know. But what I do know is he says, I'm famished. And in that moment, Jacob understood, I'm going to get the birthright. I am going to get what I find to be the best thing. Because even though it was deceptive, and even though it was wrong how he deceived his brother, you kind of got to give it to Jacob that my man was sly. He was a sly guy. He's pretty sly for a... Okay, I was going to sing a song there. So I was saying no. Watch this. But watch, as he's sly, he's waiting for his moment because he values the best thing. He understands, God, I value this so much, not just for what I can gain, but God, I know what you can do with this birthright because I seen it happen to my dad and I seen it happen to my granddad. It was a generational blessing that he was after. It was the blessing of, I want something more. I want a birthright that was going to be given to somebody. But as a twin, he was second. But he said, I value this more. And Esau said, I'm willing to sacrifice something less because I don't care. Even though the Lord's given it to me, I don't really need it. Let's all stand. We must give God our very best. God works on an inverse system. He said, he that is greatest among you shall be called your servant. It's when you serve God, that's what elevates you. It's not elevating you, and God says this, it's inverse. You want to be great, you need to become less. I must decrease so that he can increase. And when he increases in my life, I understand it's not a sacrifice to give him my best because it's going to come back to me. See, when you give it back to God, the law of the harvest is it's going to come back to you more. So why not give God your best? Why not trust God with the blessings that he's given you in your personal life? You may think it's a sacrifice, and it is. But when you realize it's a sacrifice, the question becomes, how much greater is that I'm giving this sacrifice unto God? Can I just say something? It's not a sacrifice unless it costs you. That's what a sacrifice is. It costs you something. It's easy to give God out of the extra and out of the overflow. But what do you do when it costs you something? That's when we need to sow that to God. When it costs you your time, when it costs you your energy, when it costs you something more, that's when we say, God, I give this to you, and I trust you today. And Esau, because he did not value what he had, he was not willing to apply it. He just looked at, this is something on the outside that I can say, thanks, birthright's good, but I don't value it, so I'm willing to give it away. And the Bible says that he gave it away for a bowl of soup. That'd be some pretty good soup. One time I preached a message on, do you smell what the crock pot is cooking? But in essence, he valued what that was so much. That smell, that savor of food, and it's lunchtime, so pastor's really gonna make you hungry. That wonderful French baguette, in my mind, I'm thinking Panera Bread, right? And you just have this wonderful bowl of soup, and he's so hungry and so famished. He says, I'm willing to give up a lifetime of blessings and birthright because it doesn't value to me. Where instead, if he said, no, I treasure this, and I'm going to hold on to it. But not only am I just going to hold on to it, I'm going to give it back to God. God would have multiplied that over and over and over exponentially. Today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I ask you very simply this question that the Lord has put on my heart to share with you today is simply, are you giving God your best? Are you giving God your very best? Are you giving him your best with your talents, with your time, with your treasures? Are you giving him your very best? Or are you giving him half of your best? Are you just giving him what's left of the week, of what's left of work? I'm asking you today not to condemn you, but simply to remind you that if we're going to be grateful today, we ought to give God back what he has given us. And God will give it back to us even again in that cycle of the harvest. When we give God his praise, God will give us back blessings. It's like what they said, the blessings of God are contingent upon how we give and bless him. Bless the Lord. That's why the Job goes on to say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But watch this. But blessed be the name of the Lord. He understood God gives, God takes away. But I'm going to bless God. I'm going to give back to God. What could he give God? He lost it all. He lost his family. He lost all of that stuff I quoted at the beginning of the message. And the question is, he says, what do I give God? It's not about stuff. It's not about substance. But God, all that I have, I give back to you. All that I have, God, I give you my very best, which in this case is my praise and my love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So today, if you're not giving God your very best, perhaps this is an opportunity for you to ask God to forgive you of being slack. Forgive you of perhaps not following the word of God. I'm very clear in this, and I don't mean to be ugly, but I do want to be clear that if you're not giving God your very best, it's a shame because God should deserve more in your life. He's blessed you way too much. And if he never blesses you with anything ever again, the cross is far sufficient than anything else that we ever deserve. And today I thank God for the cross. I thank God for salvation, that God gave us his spirit, that God leads us and guides us. And today is a moment where you can repent before God and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And in this moment, let me just tie this up, and I don't got time to preach it, so I'm just going to summarize it, if you'll indulge me, this drive-home point, that what we understand, it's like our praise, and praise is like precipitation. What goes up eventually comes back down. When precipitation goes up, it creates clouds. Clouds get stuff, and then it comes back down, right? And that's how our blessings are. Is when we praise God and give to God, it comes back. And then we give it to him again, and it comes back. But the thing that scares me the thing that worries me is the parable of the talents. Is for in the parable of the talents, the man had five talents. There's a man that had two talents and a man that had one talent. The man that had five talents turns it to 10 talents. The Lord comes as well done. Good and faithful servant. Man that has two talents turns the two into four. And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do you notice that there's no difference in the response of the Lord between the 10 talents and the four talents? What matters is they gave it back to God and they multiplied it. Said, God, this is what you've given me. I give it back to you. But the man that had one talent says, for Lord, I know you are a strong man. So I was fearful and I went and hid my talent. And the Bible says in the parable that the Lord speaks to the man and says, thou wicked and slothful servant. He is upset. Why is he upset? He didn't give it back to God. It has nothing to do about the amount of production. It has everything to do with, God, I am doing with what I have, with what you've given me. The Lord expects us to give him our very best in every single area. And it is a big deal with God. I don't mean to be mean, but that servant, the Bible says that the Lord cursed him, cast him away. I don't know about you, but I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When I stand before the Lord and I hear those words, those are the only words I want to hear. Well done. You can't have a well done without a well do. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I ask you to inwardly inspect yourself. I'm not here to condemn you, to say you're doing where you are and you could be doing more, you could be doing less. The Lord knows. The Lord knows your situation. God knows. I'm just here today to provoke you to take a moment and say, God, I'm thankful today. But God, not only am I thankful, I'm going to start giving you my all, my everything, because I value the best in giving this to you. Today, this altar is open for a moment. If you would come down and find a place that you may need to find a place where you can just repent before God and say, God, I can actually give more. And God may be speaking to somebody in this place saying, you know what, you need to repent because you haven't given me what I've given you. Today's a day where you can ask God to forgive you and ask God and he'll forgive you and he'll make it right. But I'm here today to tell you that if you are in a situation, no matter if you've given to God your all or you've given to God something of less, today's your day to make a commitment that says, God, I give you my all today. For God, I give you my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, my treasure. For Lord, you give and you take away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of God. I pray right now that God would begin to move in us, God, that we value the things of God, that God, you died on a cross because you love us, but God, let me apply something more in my life, God, that God, there's nothing more that you've given me. I give you the cross, God. Help me today, God, as I sow into the kingdom of God. I give you all. Oh, yes, God, forgive me today, Jesus. I'm sorry for haphazardly serving me. I'm sorry for lukewarm Christianity. I'm sorry today, God, for a lukewarm Christianity. Forgive me, God, of not giving you my praise on a morning. Forgive me, God, of not giving you devotional time. Yes, God. Oh, Jesus. Yes, God, yes, God. God, that's it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just begin to give it to him right now. Just say, Lord, I want to praise you. I want to give you the glory. I want to give you the honor. I want to give you the strength. All my heart. all my soul, all my strength. Somebody needs to declare, God, I know you love me. God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you for the love for my family. I thank you for the love, God, for my soul. That you died on the cross for me. I thank you for the cross.
God, you deserve my all. You deserve my best.